The Breakfast Flakes podcast brought to you by the Blue Cat Bar and Grill. Next to the Roadside Event Center in Huntley, the Blue Cat. It's where it's at.
24 minutes after 5, 23 degrees downtown, finally Friday, and already the 1st of December. Doing the flyaway to go see Garth Brooks, brought to you by Shipton's Big R. And so Paul and I want to play you the occasional Garth Brooks song because our company doesn't schedule them the rest of the day. We're flying you away to somebody whose songs we don't play anymore. See, they know who the popular artists are, but there's something going on the backside where they're getting paid to promote all these new people, so that's why you hear so many come and go, and even if somebody comes out with two or three good songs, if they don't get the next album out quick enough, then you never hear from them again. But if you read my very interesting article this week about that, I always end this discussion with, but it's not my radio station.
That's right.
But we'll have that code again at 8:20 this morning in regular times throughout the course of the day.
A nice weekend weather-wise coming up. Next week, beautiful week. Finally finished hauling hay yesterday. Thank God now I can take the rest of the winter getting my back in condition. Bouncing up and down that road. Maybe a little visit here and there to the quiet pool down in Mexico, you know, a little swimming out there in the 83 degree water, looking at the fish, and I'll get her back in shape. Got the Festival of Trees this weekend here in Billings. You can go up and look at the Christmas trees that are decorated. You know, we used to have Stacy in every year for like 20 years for that. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she retired or from the Family Tree Center, but she always came. Every year she came in.
Well, it's funny. It doesn't matter if you're the number one station or not. It comes down to a lot of times just the relationship with the person who's got the event. And back when we played basketball, had the Cat Country All-Stars, the band director up there, she was a friend of ours, and we played basketball in Bridger 20 times. And then she went to another school, and we never got invited back.
So, you know, things change. People come and go. Seems like we don't.
Oh, my God. I listened to you in school, and then I moved away, and I had babies, and I retired, and I came back, and you guys are still here?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Joe Biden lit the national Christmas tree last night. Wished everybody happy holidays. He knew the kids were waiting for the Santa Bunny to come down and put eggs under the tree. See, that guy, Mark, he doesn't even know what day it is.
He doesn't.
Doesn't even know what day it is. It's sad. He was visiting that wind turbine factory down in Colorado, talking to one of the union workers right down there, and told the union worker he has to have this young Marine follow him all around with a code for the nuclear code because he can't remember it.
Oh, for crying out loud.
And they picked it up on the mics, and so everybody played it. That's good for Putin and all these guys to know. Yeah, that young Marine, that young fella, he follows me around with a nuclear code just in case I need it.
And people are going to vote for that guy again.
Yeah, that'd scare the hell out of you. You can YouTube it, Google it, do whatever you want, but listen to it for yourself. And he kind of jokes about it. Whew. But he got the tree lit. He counted to three. One, three, and then lit it. Got the toy run this week, too. That's Road Dogs will be doing that. That's tomorrow, I think.
No, Sunday.
Oh, it is Sunday?
Sunday.
Oh, yeah, Sunday. No, you had a busy day yesterday. You had lunch at the Chop House. And, I mean, whew, what a day, huh? You know, have you ever, well, I know you have, but it's not something that's probably on your regular menu. How long's it been since you've eaten at Outback?
A couple years.
I've been watching their commercials, and they look really good.
Mm-hmm. I always like the food.
And, you know, here about 2 years ago, they had that scare at this one out here on the West End. They had some kind of bug going on out there, some salmonella or something.
Had worms in one of the steaks.
Oh, that's what it was, a worm.
Yeah.
Yeah, in one of the steaks.
No, I haven't eaten there since then. Mm. But here a couple years ago, I kind of quit going to the West End for the most part for meals.
Yeah. And yesterday was a birthday, so that's why you were out there.
Mm-hmm.
Special occasion, but I remember when they opened, they had us all out there.
Mm-hmm.
At the Outback. That was a big thing.
Right.
Kind of like a Chick-fil-A when they opened, it was a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they had like a media day out there. And that's one of the very few things that I've gone to right after work. But we went out there and they fed you and let you try the Bloomin' Onion and all that kind of stuff out there. But just think of that, folks. We were invited when they opened up the Outback Steakhouse because it was brand new. They just built it right there on that corner.
Mm-hmm.
That was about as far west as town was.
There wasn't much going on out there in Overland Park Avenue, was there?
There was nothing out there.
No.
There wasn't anything out there off Shiloh where all those buildings, and nothing. Not one thing.
I've seen bits and pieces of it in my Facebook feed. I don't know what the actual dispute is. They were going to try and build an Outback in Great Falls and put it in the parking lot of the Holiday Village Mall, which is dying a very slow, agonizing death and would probably already be closed if Shields hadn't built that centerpiece store up there. But yeah, Outback is like Texas Roadhouse. It's good, cheap food.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, cheap today's standards.
Right. Right.
You know, today's standards, but not like the $600 it cost me and that's all right, I don't care. The hell, you know? But nothing, folks, nothing is ever like it is on TV.
No.
The lobsters you see in the Red Lobster commercial.
Those aren't the lobsters you get.
They just pulled those out of the crates in Maine and used them for their commercials.
Yeah.
They're nothing.
No.
Nothing like what you get there. The lobsters there look like the crawfish that we used to get underneath the rocks in the creeks.
Mm-hmm.
About this long, little pinchers on them.
Right.
We used to shoot them with BB guns. It was great because the bright copper gold BB would stick in the back of the crawdad. What?
we were
kids.
They were crustaceans, but they were still critters.
That's right. Dang right. That there's a critter. Well, shoot. We done better shoot that one. It's great. That's about the size of the lobsters you get there.
That's what made that one in Playa del Carmen all those years ago so wonderful.
Yep. Might have to go back there. They're still open. I saw it last year. Blue Lobster is still open down there.
Well, and they came around with a cart full of seafood, and you picked out what you wanted. And I had a 2.5-pound lobster for $52, and it was... That's the best lobster I ever had.
Yeah, Mark picked the biggest gal he could find. Right there. Right there. He's used to that. Then
walk into a crowded restaurant and grab me a big old one.
That's right. And after that, we stopped at some little honky-tonk there, and then Mark got his eyes set on the biggest gal he could see. Yep, that was a big old lobster. I know when Maddie and Zach went to Maine, they went up there and had it, said it was awesome. And it's cheap,
mm-hmm.
You know. Don't have to ship it. Anything, pull it right out of the ocean there.
And I bet there's RV parking right on the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Can have oysters. Ooh, Mark won't have oysters.
I don't like oysters.
Oh, no. No, he won't. He won't eat oysters. Too much like a booger for Mark. So, you know, Mark doesn't like... Mark doesn't even like swallowing those, that phlegmy, solid, boogery stuff that comes up in your throat. You know, and oysters remind him of a booger.
They do.
I can order for him. I know what he'll have. The garlic mashed with it, cornbread, the lobster, big ass dish of butter, and I need another one of these, please. I can order for you.
Wow. All great guesses.
He'll be right back. Jeez. I like oysters. Oysters Rockefeller. I'm a bigger, you know what? Here's the thing. I'm a bigger seafood guy than I am a freshwater fish guy.
Oh yeah, me too.
Trout, salmon, stuff like that. Just doesn't trip my trigger as much as, say, scallops, shrimp, grouper, things like that. Mm-hmm. Swordfish is great. Now, I do like walleye, and I do like some cod, but cod they catch off the coast.
Mm-hmm.
So that's more of a seafood than a freshwater. Walleye and catfish I like if they're like beer battered. Mark likes it too. Hold the fish.
That's not true.
but I'm more of an ocean seafood guy than I am. I've never really acquired a taste for salmon. To me, salmon is just like eating nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't taste like anything.
Nope.
It's like chewing a bunch of chewed up rubber bands.
Yeah.
To me, it's just, it doesn't taste like anything. I know. I've never had it the way that such and such cook it. Well, they put it on a cedar board.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like eating cedars either. I like Captain Crunch. I didn't like grape nuts. But I'm more of a sea. Scallops, love scallops, especially good, fresh, sweet scallops. I like those.
Well, and you know, that's the nice part about the resort we go to. They have a lot of that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And you can try it.
Coconut shrimp. Love coconut shrimp. In fact, I had that when we went to Cincinnati. That's what I got down there at that restaurant. But and I'm not big on sushi because I don't like worms. And folks, if you ever would take it and put it under a magnifying glass.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all them little creatures and things with antennas and stuff on their head and their big eyelashes and they don't
serve you bugs.
They're all sectioned and they're moving around in that meat before it's killed. You get all that when you eat raw anything. Oysters too. I'm just and it's a free country. You can eat what you want.
That's something. If you eat at Ribbon Chop House on your birthday, they buy you dessert.
Oh, do they?
Mm-hmm. Some ginormous peanut butter pie thing with whipped cream.
Yeah. The only thing, and I'm sure a lot of you will also agree with this, about the only thing raw that I like to eat is chocolate chip cookie dough.
Yeah.
When they're making that, I can eat that right out of the bowl. Love it. But all the other stuff I just don't care for. But it's a free country.
Mm-hmm.
Big day today, folks, over there in Sioux Falls. They're going to sell that big T-Rex in that inheritance dispute.
Mm-hmm.
A mostly intact full dinosaur skeleton, a T-Rex that they named Sue. That is appropriate. That's appropriate.
Vicious man-eating carnivore.
Yes. Woman that will just rip your head off. It involves two inheritance. Who are fighting over the money generated by the sale. It was discovered in 1990 on property owned by Maurice and Darlene Williams on the Cheyenne River Reservation in South Dakota. Years and years of court battles then over to the rights of that animal. Eventually, the couple were able to claim the rights, and they made $7.6 million from the auction of that dinosaur, which is now on display at Chicago's Field Museum. It's 40 feet long and 13 feet tall at the hip. Sue is the largest Tyrannosaurus rex discovered and the most complete. Well, Maurice Williams died in 2011, and Darlene Williams later moved to Sioux Falls, where she died. They had four kids. Uh-oh! And that's where the dispute starts.
Mm-hmm.
See, folks, I'm not going to have that problem.
No.
I have eliminated that. Darlene Williams had two wills. That makes perfect sense to me. She couldn't decide one way or the other, so she had two of them. The first one was signed in 2017, included all of her children and her grandchildren, and listed their daughter, Sandra Williams Luther, as the person in charge of settling the estate and making sure that it was carried out. But then there was a second will.
Get ready for the holidays and have great times at the Roadside Event Center in Huntley. On Friday, November 10th, it's Can't Miss Music from the duo El Wencho. There are many fun classes in November, including painting, a cookie class with sweet sundries, and a giddy-up hat-burning class. There's even a Christmas candle-making party on Thursday, November 16th at 6. Our 2024 calendar is filling up fast. Find all our special events on Facebook, the Roadside Event Center, where memories are made.
Dated in November of 2020. So what that means is that her daughter pissed her off.
Mm-hmm.
And she changed something.
Right.
Forgot her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Played the wrong heart during bridge, something. And that was 3 weeks before she died. And then she designated Luther as her sole heir and executor. So she took the executor privileges away from her daughter and gave it to her son. The document said that her daughter lived with her children at odds for too many years. And she hoped that in her death, they would find peace and become a family again. Another daughter questioned whether the second will was legal or not. She said her mother was critically ill when she signed the document. Swartz also contested the sale of her mother's home in Spearfish 2 weeks before her death. The proceeds of that home went to Darlene Williams' son, Carson Williams. So that's a screwed up mess, folks.
Oh, my God.
I've seen it.
Also, Christmas is going to be a little awkward when we all get together.
It will be. Yes, it will be, Mark. I've seen it over and over and over again. You just got to do it, folks. You just got to find a good attorney, and you just have to take out all of the questionable stuff. Ask a lot of questions, all those kind of things, and save the family.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen it break up more families. You folks, you start dangling a money carrot or a possession carrot or a home or land carrot in front of people, and they lose all sight of reality. They just lose all sight of reality. Go to the opinion page today in the paper. You're going to see an opinion in there about University of Montana Grizzlies not letting the Bobcats ban into the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
We've been playing those games since 1897, and the Grizz program this year decided not to let the Bobcats play at the Brawl of the Wild. They wanted to be able to sell more tickets and get more people in there, and that was a mistake. Guy that wrote the opinion is Representative Paul Tuss. He's from House District 28. Includes Haver, Hill County, places like that. So, oh, here's one. Let's see what this says. Guest opinion. Who wrote this? Executive Director of the nonprofit Montana Nonprofit Association. All right, let's see what she says here. Between now and December 31st, donors will be more generous than any other time of the year. 25-30% of annual nonprofit revenue will come in. It's critical for philanthropy work for Montana's nonprofits, including those in the Billings area. Montana has unique characteristics, which make its giving at the end of the year even more important. Geographically, population, low wages, government doesn't stretch enough to cover the increasing needs of communities, hunger, homelessness, mental health. Government's not responsible for that. Government's not responsible for hunger or homelessness. You are, as an individual. Okay, what do we have here? You can search nonprofit organizations if you would like. 990, 990N, or the 990EZ, which is a tax return. Almost all nonprofits are required to file. We file one of those. At the front page, as a checkbox indicating whether it's a 501c3 or some other type. Contributions, folks, like you make to the Flakesgiving Fund, a 501c3, are tax deductible. No doubt about that. Once you know where you want to donate, consider expanding the joy of giving by asking others to give in. We see a lot of that with our charity. People join in, they collect throughout the office. Nonprofits in Billings and surrounding area, fabric of the community, educate young parents, build affordable homes, blah, blah, blah. In 2021, 262 nonprofit agencies employed more than 10,000 people in Yellowstone County alone.
Wouldn't have guessed that.
I would never have guessed that either. With a $652.5 million wage base, that's a pretty good salary. St. V. Billings Clinic play a key role in the numbers. Billings has so much growth and change in the last years, blah, blah, blah. Consider these contributions made to the community by Rocky Mountain College, the Art Museum, Alberta Bear, Big Sky Economic Development, Boys and Girls Club, Billings Trail Net. Think of the work of the YMCA, Youth Dynamics, Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch, Native American Development Corporation, and others. None of us can give to every cause. I'm guessing Liz doesn't like us. That's why we're not mentioned there, because we do a lot of things, too, in the community. I would venture there's more people in Billings that know more and have heard of and know about the Breakfast Flakes, Mark and Paul, than they do, say, for instance, what can you tell me about the Big Sky Economic Development Group?
Yeah, nothing.
See? Things like that. But that's why, folks, we do a lot of this on our own. And they got a big picture in there today. Staff members and volunteers fill Christmas dinner boxes that were provided by the Ribbon Chop House and Walmart at the Boys and Girls Club. And they got a picture of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 people putting some boxes together with a little bit of food in there. Not bad. Now, if you really want to see what a food assembly is, you could have put a huge picture of... we did it. How long did it take us this year to do all those meals?
Hour and 20 minutes.
Hour and 20 minutes.
1,350 meals.
Yeah. And we cut back this year because of the need. The need was down that we have experienced. We even found that out with our deliveries. But it is a charitable time of year. And Dave's Hot Chicken Restaurant will open at 11 o'clock Saturday, if you're into the hot chicken thing. Oh, let's see what Victoria Davis has to say today from the HelenaAir.com, whatever in the hell that is. Senator John Tester's approval rating is one of the highest in the nation. The headline today said, Montanans really like Senator Tester. Residents polled, 61% of them approve of the senator. Now, I want to see these polled people. Approval ratings don't always resemble who residents vote for, however. Tester has remained popular with a large swath of Montanans. Not in eastern Montana.
No.
Why, last time he ran against Matt Rosendale, if it wouldn't have been for those extra 10,000 votes they found over there by Missoula between midnight and 6 in the morning, he wouldn't have won.
That's right.
Remember the poll places over there, folks? Do you remember the story about them, the poll people in Montana? And the ones over in Missoula, they decided to stop counting the votes at midnight. Remember that?
Yeah.
She just made that decision.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to stop. My people have had a long day. Ooh, well, boo-hoo. A long day. Because they started, you know, in the morning and worked till midnight that night. And they had a long day. Honey, I'm home and I had a hard day. One day they got to count votes, Mark, for one day.
And by the way, you know that's the job before you take it.
That's right. Send them home at midnight, and then they resume counting at 6, and folks, by 10 in the morning, we had proclaimed John Tester the winner of that Senate race. And he was down at midnight. The next morning, he had won. But he remains vastly... So, with an election that close, how could you possibly come up with this? Senator Mitch McConnell, Kentucky, is one of the nation's most unpopular senators, and yet in his own state, he sails to re-election every time. What does that tell you? Montana, though, is also home to one of the largest gaps when it comes to a favorable rating between Joe Biden and Tester. 50 points separate the Tester rating from the Biden's approval ratings. Tester was first elected in 06, remaining Democrat statewide, the only Democrat we have in our statewide congressional representation. That's it. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You can claim whatever popularity you want. Next November, we'll find out.
And keep in mind that the lying Tester has tens of millions of dollars to spend in the state to persuade you of someone that he is and he isn't.
Yeah.
He's been there 18 years. And guess what, folks? This year, he's decided to concentrate on China buying farmland. This year. Been there 18 years. But this year, he's done it. even though he gets money from Syngenta and some of these other ag conglomerates that are all backed by Chinese money. But that's what politics is. And as voters, you have to be smart enough to see through all that stuff.
Get ready for the holidays and have great times at the Roadside Event Center in Huntley. On Friday, November 10th, it's Can't Miss Music from the duo El Wencho. There are many fun classes in November, including painting, a cookie class with sweet sundries, and a giddy-up hat-burning class. There's even a Christmas candle-making party on Thursday, November 16th at 6. Our 2024 calendar is filling up fast. Find all our special events on Facebook, the Roadside Event Center, where memories are made.
And ask yourself, does this man represent what I want?
Mm-hmm.
It's the fair question. And if he does, you vote for him. And if he doesn't, you vote against him. That's just what it is.
And one of the saddest things to us is people don't pay attention and they believe everything they hear in these ads.
And folks, now you know the reason why Senator John Tester will not come in here and will not answer questions in front of a potential 250,000 residents in this area. And even those, who knows how many more with the app now, because we got people listening all around the state,
mm-hmm.
because it will contradict everything that they are spending tens of millions of dollars on in their ads to lead you to believe he is someone who he is not.
Mm-hmm.
Won't come in. They're not going to go against the $10 million, $20 million, and $30 million worth of ads that they're buying and have somebody point out you're a phony. You're a fraud. You're nothing like your ad. He's concerned about the safety and well-being of Montana, then why hasn't he been jumping up and down to close the border because the Democrats wanted open?
Mm-hmm.
That's why. He talks in his commercials. He's got one running now. I've led the fight against trying to stop fentanyl coming in from the... You're a liar. You are lying. You didn't vote for the border wall. Secure borders, nothing. You didn't vote for any of that. You know why he got his nickname, folks, Tehran John? I named him that. You mm-hmm. can see it. They're using it now on national commercials. I'll tell you why. I named him Tehran John because he was the decisive vote during the Obama administration that eviscerated our Constitution and gave President Barack Hussein Obama the power to negotiate and write his own congressional treaty with Iran. That can only be done in Congress. Congress, they're the ones that approve treaties. But in this instance, he voted along with all the others to give Obama the right to negotiate and craft his own treaty with Iran. Iran, the main harbor of terrorists around the world, funding all this crap that's going on now, Hamas, Hezbollah. They're attacking our brave and women, men and women right now in Iraq at our military bases that fight for our country. They're attacking our ships, our air force, our landing strips, our military bases. And what does Tester talk about in his commercials? I support our U.S. military and our brave men and women. You gave that guy the power to negotiate a treaty that gave billions of dollars to Iran that funded all of their military hardware that they're using to kill our men and women, and Tester did it. But listen to his ads.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to his ads. And he's been there 18 years. Folks, if I had 18 years to put in a new corner brace of a some damn fence that I had that was falling down, you think I could get that done in 18 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But if Chuck Schumer told me, Paul, I'm going to keep sneaking these hundreds of thousands of dollars into your account for doing things, I just don't want that corner brace built, I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone from a net worth of $800,000 18 years ago to $10 to $15 million by latest estimates in 18 years by making $160,000 a year, of which, keep in mind, the government and everybody takes $40,000 right off of that, right off the top. So he's down to $120,000 for 18 years, and he's worth $10 to $12 million now? How did that happen? Who's his investment broker? That's what I want to know.
He must be good.
Lies. He won't come in and answer these questions. How about this one? He supports the Democrats wanting to raise more tax dollars He hasn't supported a balanced budget or fiscal responsibility since he's been there for 18 years. But he wants to go after these people who are not paying their fair share. How many times have you heard that?
Mm-hmm.
Not paying their fair share. Why, he'll support Chuck Schumer and the rest of them going after those who aren't paying their fair share. And yet, Mr. Tester has an accountant that uses every single loophole and takes every single deduction that he possibly can to get out of, you know what, paying federal income taxes. That's kind of hypocritical, isn't it? He doesn't tell his accountant, look, don't worry about any of the deductions. Don't worry about any of that kind of stuff. Just put my income on there and I'll just pay all of it. And I don't. He doesn't tell him that.
No.
Hell no, he doesn't. Forked tongue. Won't come in. So what does he do? He'll go on all these milquetoast, uneducated people who are on the air around Montana who are oblivious to what goes on in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll just say, so nice to see you, Mr. Tester. What's going on? And how are you doing? Well, thank you for having me. This is one of my favorite places to go. Well, hell yeah, that and the pizza ranch. You know? So, folks, it's a free country. You want to buy it? You want to be persuaded by the commercials that you see? Just like we talked earlier. And it works. It works. That's why they do it.
That's right.
Like the Red Lobster commercial. That sucker they have on that plate is an 18-pound lobster, Mark. It looks like it's the biggest, most beautiful, delicious thing you've ever seen. But yet, when you go in there and you order it, you're disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how he's able to win approval from these young minds full of mush. Has anybody ever asked John Tester about all of this COVID bullcrap that him and his Democrats put in place? How many hundreds of businesses in Montana were destroyed and lost because him and his lion fork-tongued Democrat buddies pushed all the false narratives about masks and keeping kids at home? Look at the progress we lost at our schools, folks. Him and his party, Governor Steve Bullock, who ran for it, he was another one behind it. They were all in behind it. Has anybody asked him the question and who bears the responsibility for that? No. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people lost their lives because they would not let things like hydroxychloroquine and the other things be used until you are vaccinated. Remember the lie. You get it. You get the vaccine. You won't get it and you can't spread it. It's over. And they lied to you. And Tester was behind all of that propaganda with all those other Democrats. All in, folks. They were all in. Does he have to come forward and take responsibility for that? No. You know what he does? He runs ads. Not on my watch. China's not going to get away with anything while I'm senator. You've been senator for 18 years. They're in Taiwan. Their ships have it circled. They got away with COVID. They got away with all their fentanyl coming across our borders, killing all of these kids. And look what he says in his ads, folks. And you buy it. That's fine. It's a free country. Mark and I have been in the advertising business for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
We know what's good advertising. We know what's bad advertising. You know how you know when he's lying? His lips are moving. And not just him. Not just him. Won't come on. But those poll numbers are indicated that those tens and tens of millions of dollars that they spent. Remember, folks, let me just remind you one more thing and then we'll get going here because it's the weekend and I'm ready to get the hell out of here too, just like you. Last year he ran those ads about when he was in Washington, he led the charge to stop lobbyists from influencing political campaigns. Mm-hmm. Remember that, Wilson?
Mm-hmm, I do.
And last time he ran, 6 years ago, the number one recipient of lobbyist cash in the United States of America of any race that went on was John Tester. And I'll guarantee you this, folks, when John Tester, should he get beaten in the election or if he would retire in 6 years, He'll go to work as a lobbyist in Washington, D.C. and make even more money.
Absolutely.
That's why here it's fair, it's accurate, and you get the damn truth. You get the damn truth. We're fair. He wants to come in. He can come in.
Mm-hmm.
Any of them can come in. They want to come in. Listen. And we'll ask them those tough questions.
Uh-huh.
What did I tell you?
Boy.
When his lips move, lobbyist. And he took more lobbyist cash in the last election than any candidate in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
The invitation is there. Anytime. Anytime. We'll give you more of what is fair, accurate, and the damn truth.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up with First News next on The Cat.
The Breakfast Flakes podcast brought to you by the Blue Cat Bar and Grill. Next to the Roadside Events Center in Huntley, the Blue Cat, it's where it's at.